and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 466. My name is James Gilmore, and joining me today, it's Emily Soden.
Hello!
Hi, dude! I am slightly breathless, because it's been a hell of a week. If you are a regular viewer of the Pocket Gamer YouTube channel, you might be wondering, where have all the videos gone? Because I've been working on a project with the folks over at Sega, actually, to produce a video for Shin Megami Tensei Liberation DX2, and they want to do a really, really big, proper, full, massive guide for it. We already did a hands-on and a review and stuff like that, but we want to do something a bit bigger that might last a bit longer. And so we've done it, and it's up live and ready to go, and if you've never started playing and you want to know how to and get all the best demons, I suggest you go and do that. This is totally not directed at you, Em, because you're not that into the Shin Megami Tensei, I'm guessing.
Oh no, my eyes glazed over as soon as you mentioned it.
Yeah, sorry, dude. Have you been up to anything particularly exciting? Any exciting projects with big companies this week?
As a matter of fact, yes, I have, and I can't tell you.
Oh, that's right, the secret thing.
Yeah. No, you thought I was joking about that, but I was being 100% serial.
Wicked. All right. Well, more on that, I guess, a week or two? How long before?
Only a week, actually.
Brilliant. All right. That's awfully teasy and annoying, isn't it? Sorry. So we've both been up to exciting projects this week, and now we come crashing together for the podcast. Now, it's not the biggest week for new releases, this one. There are a few, and I've played a couple, but not loads. But it's been a lot of news, a hell of a lot of news, in fact. So we're going to dive straight on in, news fashion, chatting about things like The Elder Scrolls and its kind of new release date. You're all going to be very, very cross. We've got Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword coming to Nintendo Switch. Maybe, or maybe not. We've got Fortnite in 60 frames per second, if you're into that sort of thing. Professor Layton and the Diabolical Box arriving in Japan. And World of Warcraft might be going a bit Pokemon Go. Also, new releases including Transformers, Bumblebee, and Fast and Furious Takedown. But first, the news. You might remember from earlier podcasts that The Elder Scrolls Blades was going to be coming to iOS and Android as well. I think originally the release date was sometime in like November. I think that was the first one.
No, that September came, actually, wasn't it?
Was it September? Oh, there you go. Oh, yeah. That came and then went. And Bethesda went, yeah, about that. So we didn't mean September. Obviously, what we meant was December sometime. December the 11th, I think, was the
news.
Oh, God, I knew there was a one in there. Yeah, so that was supposed to happen tomorrow, the day after, whatever it is. But soon, very soon. Not so much anymore, I'm afraid. Twitter has revealed from the Elder Scrolls official account that Elder Scrolls Blades will release in early 2019 for iOS and Android devices. Nothing about, like, sorry, the release date's been shifted. They've announced it like it's the first announcement of the new release. By the way, it's coming next year. Like, but you said this year.
It's just hoping that people don't notice.
You're giving me massive trust issues, Bethesda. I don't know what to believe anymore. Yeah, so if you want to download the game, the App Store page now says March 31st, 2019. Let's bear in mind the fact that it said two dates before that, and neither of them have been real. So I'm going to be taking this one with a massive pinch of salt. Thing is, delays don't have to be a bad thing. I know we make fun of them, but delays can mean they're getting the game right, and I'm all for that.
Yeah.
I know it's an unpopular opinion, because people often get really arsey when stuff is delayed, but look, if it's going to be rubbish, it's going to be rubbish, and no amount of delays is going to change that. But it might be good as a result of the delay.
Yeah. I feel like the people who get angry about game delays are the people who don't want to pay for games. As in, like, even if it's premium and they're just like, we should make it free.
No, I understand if you've been waiting for it for like 2 years or something, and it is frustrating to be told something and then have it pulled out from your grasp just at the last minute, which is annoying. But yeah, it's like a bad game will always be bad, but maybe a bad game can be made good with a little bit of a pause. So fingers crossed this will be a worthwhile wait and it'll turn out to be a grand old thing. Before we move on to the rest of the news, we started on with proper news business, but we wanted to mention the Pocket Gamer People's Choice Award, which is a thing where you can go and nominate your favourite game that was released in the last year. The game has to have been released after October 1st, 2017 to be eligible for it, right? And the nominations close on Monday, December 3rd. So you've only got a couple of days left if you listen to this on Friday or at the weekend. and it'll make a shortlist, right? So if you send in your vote, nominate the game, there is a form. You can get to it from the front page of a Pocket Gamer. Just type in People's Choice into the search bar and that article will appear. Little form to fill in. We've done all the work for you. Nominate your favourite game, then it'll appear in a shortlist. And then I think we end up voting on the winner from that shortlist. I think that's right.
It's been like a year and I can't even remember what happened last week.
Yeah, but your bit at least, your first bit, is to go right now, find your favourite game, whack it into the little box we've provided and send it off. And then check back on, say, December 3rd, it'll close, and then we'll announce the shortlist very, very soon after. So go ahead and do that People's Choice Award. So, back to normal news. Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword was sort of rumoured to appear on Switch at some point. So the producer of the game apparently said something which hinted at bringing it over onto Switch. Specifically, the guy's called Eiji Onuma, I think is the pronunciation. And someone said, hey, did you hear what he just said? And quoted him saying, I know what you're waiting for. Skyward Sword for Switch, right? And this was like mentioned at a music event in Japan. And someone was there attending the event and said, hey, the guy just teased this. I reckon it's coming. So obviously everyone started writing stories about it. That was then followed up. Apparently, speaking to Eurogamer, the company clarified that there are, quote, no plans for a Switch version of the game at this time. So it's one of those, ooh, a story! Oh, it's not a story at all, is it?
Oh, those ones. People just get so excited.
Especially around Zelda. It's even the merest mention that you might be getting, either a new Zelda or a port of a Zelda game or something like that. People go, what?
Oh, no. Yeah, that's relatable, though. I think since playing Breath of the Wild, where I was not even remotely bothered before I played Breath of the Wild, having sunk in as many hours as I have, if they were going to release a second one of a new Zelda game, I would be more excited than Spyro.
More than Spyro?
Yeah, which is big.
Holy
for me.
Cow. It really is. I get it. It's the Prime franchise. It would be the same with Mario or anything else like that. I can't remember if Skyward Sword's one of the beloved ones or not. I think it's Twilight Princess. That's the one that everyone bags on, right?
Mm.
I think that's the one, the Wii one, where people weren't keen on the waggly motion controls and everything. But it's had a hell of a history, and I think anything with the word Zelda on it just gets columns. So if you were excited about that, stop being excited about it, I guess, is the message of this news story. Sorry, that's a bit of a downer, isn't it?
It's okay. Go and make yourself some hot chocolate, everyone.
Not to worry. How about playing Fortnite? Fortnite in 60 frames per second!
But only for certain people.
Yeah, only for certain people. So, to clarify, they have released an update that allows you to play Fortnite at 60 frames per second on your mobile phone, which is obviously a good thing if you are into the whole mobile portable shooter business, because I'm not mad about the frame rate stuff. If you listen to the podcast, you know I don't care as long as it's stable and it suits the game. But I will concede that on like multiplayer shooters where reaction time is a factor and everything, it does help to have a high frame rate. I do get it. You know, it is a big difference. So you can get 60 frames per second on your Fortnite game, but only if you have an iPhone XS, XS Max, or XR. Now, that might be XS, XS Max, and XR. I can't remember which one you're supposed to have.
I just said X. It sounds cooler.
I don't care. So, basically, you need one of the newest generation iPhones in order to do it. I assume the same is true of the new iPads as well. I'm sure they can run it at 60fps too. But that is a perk thing, and if you're playing all the games and you want to do all the frags and all the gibs and all the other terminology from 90s Quake, then you can do them all really, really, really fast now. Fast and smooth, like a dolphin. What else have we got? Oh yeah, Professor Layton. So we've had a couple of Professor Layton games turn up on mobile, specifically iPhone, iPad. The last one of which was a remaster of the original Professor Layton game. Professor Layton and the Curious Something or Other? Village?
Village.
Yeah. Got there in the end. Here we have the release of, I think it's a new one. I've not heard of this one before. So Professor Layton.
No, that's from 2007, pal.
Oh really? See, I don't know the mythos of Layton. I've not done the deep dive into his background. So Professor Layton and the Diabolical Box is the name of that one. So if it's a 2007 game, it has appeared, or at least it's been revealed, in the Japanese App Store. Apparently it's coming there sometime in December, so any moment now. It's going to cost 1,200 yen, which equates to about £8 or so. And, this is the second installment. So this is number two. Yeah. So they are doing it chronologically then.
Yeah, which is cool, because they started off with Lady Leighton. Not Lady Leighton, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Obviously to try and see if there was going to be a successful market for it. And then they brought the original one to mobile, and I guess they're just going from there. Which I think I said something about in my review or a while ago, being like, well, it's popular, so they're probably going to bring them all over.
Yeah, well, if the first one worked, then totally. And I guess it's done well enough, or maybe the tracks were already laid for the future sequels to come out as well, so they're just following the path. But either way, you're going to be able to get the second one. That's quite good news. I like that. Because I liked that first game when I played it, the remaster of the original. I carried on playing that on the iPad after it was downloaded, because it's all brain testy and fun. So we've obviously got no news as to whether it's going to be coming to the West like immediately afterwards or within a couple of months or whatever, but there's a very good chance, given that the first one appeared over here, that this one will follow suit as well. More puzzle games for mobile. I think it's probably my favourite genre for mobile. I just think puzzlers work on a touchscreen so well.
Yeah, same. And do you know what? The Leighton games are so buttery and so just detailed.
Do you mean buttery as in slick and difficult to grip? Or do you mean as in smooth and rich?
I mean like smooth and rich.
Okay. Just checking. Bad for your health and gives you high cholesterol?
I don't care. And you got one life, pal. I'd rather enjoy it.
Okay. Buttery, smooth, diabolical boxes heading to your iPhone and iPad. I reckon maybe next year. Early next year in the West, I'm going to guess. So I guess one of the big announcements this week is regarding World of Warcraft. Because World of Warcraft is still happening. I've been meaning to check in on it recently, actually. Because it continues to be huge, right? Like, it's over 10 years old at this point.
No, it's like massive. I'm not a major fan. I've never played the games or anything. But the one thing I do always watch is the Blizzard, what they call cosplay tournaments they have every year.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are insane.
I do like good cosplay. When it's done well and they've, you know, matched the designs perfectly, seeing that stuff brought to life is very cool. Minus the unfortunate, like, sleazy perv aspect to it, which unfortunately gets bundled in with that whole culture, which is a drag. But just from the pure artistry of it, I love it when it's done well. And yeah, I've seen some of the conventions and I just imagine wandering around those things. The costume's one thing. It's the oversized weaponry.
Oh, yeah.
It's having the gigantic papier-mâché sword and trying not to smash it on anything. Or I don't know. How do you get it through like customs when you're flying into the country? It seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. You'd be like, it's foam. It's not real. They'd be like,
So it's funny what they get funny about. We had to, I think I mentioned this before, but we had to bring over baseball bats on planes before, because when we hold our big indie pitch events over at Pocket Gamer Connects, the winners get these, because it's a big indie pitch, it's based around a baseball theme, so they get this baseball bat with big indie pitch winner written on it. And we had to get them through, and yeah, certain customs in certain countries not happy with you carrying a baseball bat through. Apparently that's potentially a dangerous weapon.
Yeah, understandably.
Yeah, and on reflection, we were like, oh yeah, maybe. Just be glad that they weren't like, hey, it's a first-person shooter game, so you win a gun with well done written on the side of it.
Can you imagine?
I can imagine never getting into the country and being detained for a week. But yeah. So yes, the cosplay stuff is amazing, and the community for World of Warcraft continues to thrive. BlizzCon was only a couple of weeks back, and it went very well from what I hear. So lots of announcements were made during that, not a lot of which affects us on mobile. However, Blizzard is not unaware that there is a lot of stuff going on mobile. Obviously, it's sort of keeping one eye on the big Battle Royale craze with PUBG and Fortnite and that appearing on mobile and everything else. And it hasn't failed to notice things like Pokemon Go, for example, which it's now decided could possibly be the next natural extension for the World of Warcraft franchise. So lead designer Corey Stockton said that he was talking about, like, you know, we've got lots of teams, we look at the mobile landscape, we've got people working on mobile games. And he said it would be good for one of Blizzard's incubation teams to develop a Warcraft version of Pokemon Go. And in fact, clarified by saying, and it is in development for smartphones right now. So I haven't quite made up my mind about this one. I guess that's going to have nothing whatsoever to do with the World of Warcraft core game in terms of gameplay. You can't really make it a normal, like, massively multiplayer online game.
Mm.
Where you go and do raids and stuff. Really? Can you?
I don't know. You'd think with World of Warcraft, they would have chosen the traditional, like, MMO RPG kind of method that are, like, really popular in the East and stuff. That would be, I reckon, a better fit than Pokemon Go. I can't really see where they're going to go with it.
Yeah, so they've already got a bunch of MMO-style things on mobile. And given that World of Warcraft is so old... See, my thinking was, like, in the same way that they recently did with RuneScape, where they brought over, like, an old-fashioned version of RuneScape that runs on mobile. It's like, could they not set up, like, a 2005 WoW server or something? And have that run on mobile? Because people playing old WoW... I mean, I guess it's an easy thing for me to say, and then an absolute logistical nightmare to set up and would cost a fortune. But I could see people playing WoW on their mobile phones. Like, these games can work, and totally do work on mobiles. And if you had a stripped-back version of WoW that existed in its own little silo, I reckon people might go mental for that. As just an offshoot, but they've decided to go for the Pokemon Go style here. So if that's the case, if we're talking Pokemon Go, that was generally about, it's a capture game. It's a find and capture game. Same as they did with the Ghostbusters one. Same as they're going to be doing, we think, with the Harry Potter Hogwarts one. It's going to be like, oh, go to this area and get rid of a Dementor, or Pokemon, go to this area and catch a creature, or go to this area and, you know, bust a ghost. It's always that kind of like just attack or capture. So with World of Warcraft, I mean, go to this area and... or go to these 20 areas and gank 10 identical goblins and hope they drop an ear. Because if it's just collecting World of Warcraft creatures, that's not a thing. That's dull. That's got nothing to do with the WoW core gameplay loop. So it feels like it would be a bit of a weird spin-off.
Yeah. They said in the interview, or in the, you know, the article, that there would be... like, it had more to it than just the Pokemon Go thing.
Okay. They didn't elaborate on what?
No, God, no. Like, I think it was just that it's not just Pokemon Go, it's not just catching things. Like, maybe they have to go places and raid or something, and they have to use AR to shoot things on the screen or whatever, I don't know.
Well, yeah, getting together with other people and raiding, like you do in the game, that would make sense, but then it would force people to all converge on the same space. Like, consciously. Whereas in Pokemon Go, people weren't converging on the same space, certainly not at the beginning, to fight. They were just all trying to catch a specific Pokemon. And that Pokemon was, you know, geolocated in one specific area. So you'd walk down the street and you'd see a bunch of people clustered around a lamppost. Because that lamppost was the designated place for a Pidgey or whatever. So those clusters would just occur organically. But with World of Warcraft, like, yeah, I think they're going to have to come up with something quite clever to make it not just capturing World of Warcraft creatures, which is dull and pointless. It needs to feed much more into that World of Warcraft experience, which is going on adventures and quests and you know, collecting loads of loot and leveling characters and all that business. So, and especially with World of Warcraft, the multiplayer aspect is so important, of being able to, you know, get together with people in instances. So if they can make something like that, that I guess gets people outside, that's cool. But I'm not sure what the crossover is on World of Warcraft players who also want to run around a real forest in the dark looking for friends to go and do a raid. I don't know. But the caveat to all of this is it's Blizzard. Blizzard, as we've spoken before, tend to be quite good at doing things, and they tend to never release anything unless it's guaranteed to be a massive success. So if it ever sees a light of day, chances are it'll probably be quite good. I guess this is a sort of in Blizzard we trust kind of situation. Naturally, no release date. They just... What was that? Oh
my God.
What?
I'm so sorry. I just... I've got both of my headphones on.
You've both of your headphones
sorry,
on?
Sorry, oh no, as in like both of my ears on the headphones, so there's not any feedback in the mic. And I just heard something behind me, because I've got the door closed and Indy was in her little box that I've bought her little bed. And I just kind of heard this thing, and I just kind of looked behind me, and she's sitting right next to my shoulder all of a sudden, just sitting there staring at me, and it just made me jump. Sorry.
You got jump scared, conjuring style, by your cat.
I did. And like, you know, when you get like the fear shake and your breath is taken away.
I'm leaving this in, by the way. This is Indy's addition to the podcast this week. Usually she yowls, but this one is just silent terror.
It's just something I don't even know what I was expecting. I just turned around and she was there.
To be fair, I do that to my wife when she's like wandering, she's like doing something in the house and facing away from me. I will just go up and stand slightly over her shoulder and wait for her to notice. And every time she loses it completely. She's not a quiet person either. She doesn't go, oh my God. She just goes, bah!
Oh, you mean?
The other one is if they're busy, just like poke your head around the corner of the door. Just like really slowly and just stay there. Just stay there till she notices. Just a head.
That's the stuff that genuinely scares me because it doesn't register fully in your mind.
No, you just eventually catch it. That's why it's so lush. And she always freaks out. And I'm like, who were you expecting? I'm always trying to work out, like, I walk out of a room and I walk back in 2 seconds later and she jumps. Mm. And it's like, you do realise I live here too, right? I mean, I was just here, yet you seem surprised.
Yeah, some people are just nervous by nature. I jump at the post coming.
I used to jump at the doorbell because we had a really severe, not like a ding dong, we had a bah kind of doorbell in the old place.
I hate those.
And every time I would be like holding a drink and I would like the drink would really jump out of my hand. I was like, Jesus Christ, what's that? It was like kind of a warning alarm, like, you know, this is your 4 second warning, nuclear Armageddon impending. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, why can't they make doorbells really pleasant?
I know. I've had to do that with my alarms. This is getting way off topic. The nasty alarms are a horrible thing because otherwise you wake up every morning and go, oh God, I'm going to die. Ah! And then you realise what it is once you've woken up a bit. But yeah. I tend to do a kind of gradual,
cello, like a nice cello song as well.
Very nice. Yeah, like
it. But yes, apologies. I didn't mean to. I gasped quietly to try not to interrupt.
Sorry. I'll amplify it in the mix. Don't worry.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah, World of Warcraft Pokemon Go coming your way sometime very soon, probably. Out and about this week, like I say, not a great deal, but a couple of the things that I've played. Transformers Bumblebee. So this is another Transformers game that's appeared. We've had ones where you have to do actual fighting. So there was a kind of Tekken-esque style Transformers game that came out. And then there was the big old Clash of Clans style one where you had to build, you know, a base and or expand and all that business. This one, much more like a retro mobile game. And by retro, I mean like almost like a Java game from back in the eras of feature phones. And you know what? It's not bad. So it's a top-down thing, and it switches between a couple of different modes. You basically put one thumb on the screen, and that activates the game. Whenever you remove your thumb from the screen, the game kind of slows to a crawl, and the screen goes black. So it's a way of pausing the game, which is nice. And it's a vertically scrolling thing, and sometimes you are just the car, your Bumblebee is a car, and you are just dragging your thumb around on the screen, maybe driving down a road, so you're trying to avoid traffic, and then maybe you're going to collect some coins and some stars and smash up some crates or something. And then you'll go over a canyon and suddenly the Transformer will jump and Bumblebee will go twat, 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 and he will transform into walking Transformer humanoid mode. And then you're stomping around. And then you can get a little bit more movement with the thumb and you can blast away with your cannon. And then it becomes a game about shooting the bad guys, avoiding blasters and turrets and stuff that are firing from either side of the screen. And dodging around a big maze that they've set up. And then maybe you'll transform back into a car and it'll go into the other mode. It's very quick, little bite-sized sections. It's very minimal in its art style. It's super simple. And I think it actually works better than the other games because it does hark back to a very classic era of early mobile games. And maybe it's just a nostalgia of me remembering having like an Ericsson 33i or whatever it's called. And playing these games, but it's quite neat and nice and really simple. For all the gloom that's usually shrouding the Transformers franchises, and I do mean the movie specifically, this is bright and colourful and cheery and simple and light. And makes you go, oh yeah, I remember Transformers when they were just cartoons and fun. Before they were these horribly, massively complicated geometric messes. That they turned into with the Michael Bay stuff. I guess this is echoing what the new movie will be, because that new Bumblebee movie which actually doesn't look awful. Have you seen the trailer?
I have seen the trailer, but to be honest, I'm just not a Transformers person.
No, well, I mean, I wasn't a super Transformers fan, and when the movies came out, I was like, nope, these are dreadful. But the new one is written by someone else, directed by somebody else, and it looks to be about, like, I don't know, things like story and emotion and stuff.
Oh, gosh.
Which is a first for that entire franchise, because they've just been incoherent, shouty messes up until now.
Yeah.
So maybe it won't be awful. Who knows? And this game seems to be the light, fun tie-in that's preceding it. So go and get it, we say. We gave it an 8 out of 10 silver award for Transformers Bumblebee. So maybe go and have a look at that one. Now, the coolest game I've played, and I only just fired it up very briefly because you mentioned that we had it on the test flight, Em, and I was delighted to see it, Don't Trip. Now, is this the one that you've played a bit of as well?
Yeah, no, it's just really, like, simple. I don't know, would you describe it as, like, a arcade game or a...
I guess so. It falls into the same category for me as something like Quop, where it's, like, taking a simple thing, like move a character left to right, and making that the game. So the game in Quop is, like, move all your legs in the right places at the right time so your character moves forward, but it's really, really difficult because you're controlling each limb. This is kind of like that, albeit in a much more simplified, streamlined way, and built for mobile with the accelerometer, and uses it very cleverly. So you hold your iPhone in a landscape format, and the idea is that you have two sides of the screen there, and you've got two circles on either side, and each one represents a foot. So one thumb is a left foot, one thumb is your right foot. Now, what you need to do is you will, like, put one thumb on the screen, and that means your foot is now standing on the ground, so it's going to act as the pivot. But in order to do that, you don't drag your other thumb up, or you don't put your other thumb up on the screen and then press down and kind of walk your way up the screen with your thumbs. Oh, no. You put one thumb on the screen, and then you tilt the iPhone, rotate it round, and as it does so, it's like you're moving your foot, like the iPhone represents. It reminds me of, you know, the toy soldiers, little green toy soldiers that you get.
Yeah.
But they appear in Toy Story, you know, and their feet are joined together.
Mm.
It's like that. So imagine that the bottom of the toy soldier's feet, that little green blob of plastic that's joined the two feet together, imagine that's your phone. So you are kind of moving the phone, like tilting it sort of 90 degrees, 90 degrees, 90 degrees, back and forth and back and forth, and then put your thumb down and then rotate it again and put the next thumb down and lift the other thumb up and backwards and forwards. And that's how you walk effectively up the landscape. And once you do it, you immediately get it. And you go, oh, okay, clever, I've not seen this before. And then the game part of it is A, covering a certain distance, B, avoiding things like obstacles. Like the first thing that I stepped on that I shouldn't was Lego. And that's very good. That's very well observed.
Yeah, always a risky one.
Always the worst thing in the world to stand on. And so that's what you're trying to do. You're avoiding obstacles. And it's like trickier than it sounds because, you know, after a while, you can only see a very small area of the ground you're walking up. So you can very easily kind of find yourself unwittingly like drifting over to the left or to the right. And you have to really stretch with your thumb sometimes. It's almost like it's got a twister element to it where you're trying to reach your thumb over to hit the right bit. So you avoid that and then you walk over there. And yeah, novel, simple idea that works really well on a touchscreen, which is always what I'm looking for with mobile stuff, sort of clever things that wouldn't have worked as well elsewhere. So I would say give this one a look. I don't know if this is premium or not, though.
No, it's all free to play.
Was it? Oh, brilliant. Oh, give this a look, just because you haven't done this with your phone before. And that's quite a good thing to be able to say. Like, someone's found a new way to utilise your touchscreen and the accelerometer. And in a world where everything is just a knockoff of something else, that is at least something to be a bit celebrated. I don't know what the longevity is. I've only played it for a bit, but give it a go. It's quite good fun. It is called Don't Trip. That's the name of that one. Now, a couple of other things that have come out. I haven't played this. There's a Fast and Furious Takedown game that was just released. I guess this isn't tying into any of the movies. This is just a separate thing because it's been ages since the last Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah.
It is apparently not too bad. This is what Harry says about it. We haven't done the official review yet, but challenges, old school arcade racer style. He's had a bit of a go on it. I don't think it's like a CSR racing thing. It is an actual racer where you are controlling the car itself, you know, much more like an asphalt or something like that. It's not just a lane changing thing, which is good, but I haven't played it. You can go and find this one now. I'm going to say it's almost certainly free to play. And it's out on both iPhone and iPad if you want to go and have a look at that one. What other things are out? Oh, Chutchel. Mentioned Chutchel last week. That's the new thing from Amanita Design. Still haven't played it. I think it's on our account now, which is nice. But I haven't got around to giving it a go. I'm going to have to save my take on that until next week. Sorry, I've had things on. I've let you all down. I'm very sorry.
It's fine. We got lives, James.
Do we have to? Was there something you'd played a little bit of?
Yeah, I played, I think it's Horizon Chase Turbo.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that.
Yeah, and I say I think because I always get the name wrong.
I think that's what it is, because it's a different version of the Horizon Chase, which was out on touchscreens. So it was originally released on like iPhone, iPad, I think like 2016 or something, a while back.
Yeah.
And it's a sort of 3D-ified version of those 80s races. Like, it's a bit Outrun, and it's a bit like Lotus Esprit Turbo Challenge, that's what I'm thinking of. Those old-fashioned races from the 80s. This has now come out on Switch in this turbo version, right?
Yeah. It came out on Switch this week, and I was messing around with it earlier in the week, obviously. And I'm, despite, like, you know, occasionally enjoying a game of Mario Kart, and I don't know, sometimes racing games will get me if I'm playing with other people, but when you're kind of going solo, I don't find much enjoyment in the whole racing around a track thing.
Okay.
Because it's very repetitive.
Sure.
And, like, so anytime I do play a racing game, it's always a bit of a struggle for me to, like, really get into it. But as soon as I played this one, everything just clicked. Everything felt in the right place, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
The primary thing is to go on a world tour, like, in single-player mode. You can play multiplayer mode, local only, though.
Oh, wow, that is old school, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of the stuff is local only on Nintendo Switch.
It's quite nice, though. I mean, it does encourage you to actually get near humans.
Yeah, well, also, like, not everyone's going to buy the online subscription.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I haven't, because I don't go online very much.
Mm-hmm.
The World Tour mode is, like, the primary one, and then you can unlock a couple of other ones once you've done that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 3 tracks, plus a bonus one when you want to upgrade your cars and things.
Mm-hmm.
And the races are only short. They're only 3 to 6 laps, I think. Super snappy, but there are so many cars.
Yeah, the loads, aren't there?
There are so many. There's like 18 when you first start off. So it's like this intense cluster initially to try and get round all these cars, because as soon as you bonk into the back of one of them, it completely stops your momentum.
Yeah.
And you can like hit the side of a post or something, or you can spin out, or, you know, whatever. But what I did like about it is that everything happens very quick, and there are coins, and there's fuel you need to pick up so you don't run out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
But when you turn a corner, it almost kind of guides you around it.
Yes, it's got the auto assist that you sort of get with those retro games, where you can just kind of hold left and it'll sort of get you around there. Like, the thing about old races is that it almost felt like the car was anchored in the center of the screen.
Yeah, like a micro machine track thing.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what it captures the feeling of. It's like the tracks are all bending around the car.
Yeah.
Rather than vice versa.
Yeah, and it felt really, really snappy. And I don't know if it's because it opened up a door for more casual players, I think. And it became less about controlling the entirety of the race and more about picking and choosing your moment to move up to, like, first place.
Yeah.
Because you've also only got 3 nitros to use, so 3 boosts. Which you've got to use, you know, smartly. So usually in the last lap or something. And it was just really good. I was really surprised.
See, I would usually complain about something like that, where I would say that it's very boring. Aggressive steering assist is kind of irritating, and aggressive rubber banding in games can suck a lot of the fun out of it sometimes
for people.
But this is very consciously doing that, because it is going and referencing games from the 80s, which used to do this a lot. And so if it didn't do that, it would feel strange. So with this, it really fits. The retro aesthetic suits the gameplay that they've also chosen to emulate. And it does feel like that classic Outrun-ish kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it worked really well on mobile, precisely because it was bright and clear and colourful and just enjoyable. The sensation of racing and going around corners was fun. It wasn't super challenging, and it certainly wasn't, you know, anything like a Gran Turismo technical racer. But it wasn't trying to do that. It was trying to be light and frothy. And I'm glad that you got that feeling from the Switch version too. That's really cool.
Yeah, no, and it was really good. And I know that I didn't get a chance to try out the multiplayer, because I don't think it was on. It wasn't up or something at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to do local multiplayer, there's actually a huge number of maps. Plus, the soundtrack is nice. It's like really retro.
It is. Again, it's emulating that the best soundtracks from those games. The Lotus 3, I think, had an amazing soundtrack.
Mm.
And obviously Outrun is famous for its soundtrack. And then things like Ridge Racer and all that. Daytona. Of course, Daytona, the classic starting song sung by the composer, which is the best video online. If you want a bit of joy in your life, go and watch the guy who wrote the Daytona theme singing the Daytona theme.
So better.
It's so lovely. No, it's honestly because he could not be happier to be in a booth going, Daytona, let's go away. It's like, oh, mate, it's contagiously fun.
Yeah, I like watching other people's joy.
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's lovely. So yeah, the racing games got a long storied history of having kick-ass soundtracks. And this, again, is emulating that fun, like, hummable music theme. And I liked it. I liked it on mobile. I'm glad it's working really well on Switch. That's wicked to hear. I assume it's premium, though, on Switch.
Yeah. It's not cheap. I think it's $17.99 or something.
Right.
But the amount you get for it and, like, the fact that the single-player campaign is actually quite fun.
Mm.
And, like, just nice to... I think when I played it, because I was doing this for a review, I was really not in the mood, but I kind of had to play it. So I stuck it on. I was like, okay, God, I'll just do a couple of things, then I'll pick it up again tomorrow because I was tired and it was a long week. And like, I ended up playing like 2 hours of it.
It won you over.
It did. It really won me over.
Superb. I should point out that this is a different version of the game. I think the turbo has been added. So whereas the mobile version, I think, was like maybe £3, £2-3 or something, this is newer and obviously spruced up. And so that's why it's got a higher price tag beyond just being on a Switch, which makes everything more expensive.
Mm.
But we've got video reviews of the mobile version. We haven't got the Switch version, obviously, in video, but go and check out trailers and things. This is a fun little franchise. If you've got a little bit of nostalgia for them fun old arcade racing days, this one might tick your box. What was the full name? Get it right?
Horizon Chase Turbo.
Horizon Chase Turbo. Superb. Okay, out on the Switch right now. I think that'll do for this week. There is a game called Morals out as well. A Part of Me and Lifty. Those are the three that are on our list that we haven't covered, but we will do so over on the site if you want to learn more. But I think we've hit our time limit. So... that'll do for today. Thank you all for listening. Excuse me if it's a bit breathless for me today. I'll be better next week once the panic has subsided a little bit. But in the meantime, go and vote on the People's Choice Awards. Choose your favourite game, have your voice heard, and then go and find something cool and new to play this week. There's plenty to choose from. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.